السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اس وقت میں مسلم ہو بیان فرمودہ بعض واقعات جو حضرت مسیح علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام اور آپ کے صحابہ سے متعلق ہیں بیان کروں گا.
At this time I will relate some accounts relating to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and his sahaba, his companions, narrated by Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him. There is a revelation recorded in Tadhkira dated February 9th, 1908. There were 8 revelations that day, and one revelation is La taqtulu Zainab, that is, do not kill Zainab. At one place, Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud has explained the context to this revelation according to the circumstances in the following manner. He says, at the beginning of the year 1908, marriage proposals for the 2 daughters of late Hafiz Ahmadullah Khan Sahib were suggested. The name of the elder daughter was Zainab and the younger daughter was Kulsoom. There were other proposals for marriage for those interested in marriage to Zainab. One of the proposals was from Sheikh Abdul Rahman Misri. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, disliked the marriage proposal with Misri Sahib, and he believed that Zainab should not be married to him. However, as per his nature, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would not overly stress on such matters, and he did not, as was his practice, exert pressure here. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, received the revelation during those days, La taqtulu Zainab, that is, do not kill Zainab. For some reason or the other, the late Hafiz Ahmadullah Sahib disliked the other person who had given a marriage proposal, and he thought that the revelation to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, meant that the promised Messiah's advice was wrong, that his daughter should not be married to the other person, and instead she should be married to Misri Sahib. Hafiz Ahmadullah Sahib thought that the revelation actually negated the promised Messiah's opinion, and that the revelation La taqtulu Zainab meant Allah the Almighty did not like the promised Messiah's advice. On the other hand, Hafiz Sahib believed that Allah the Almighty liked the other proposal, contrary to the promised Messiah's suggestion. Hafiz Sahib thus married his daughter to that Misri Sahib. And so this revelation was received on the 9th of February 1908. And Misri Sahib's nikah ceremony with Zainab took place on the 17th of February, 1908. Hazrat Musleh Maud writes that this date was preserved in this manner because Mystery Sahib's nikah took place along with two other nikahs. The same day the nikah ceremony of our sister, Mubarakah Begum, took place, and that date was the 17th of February. Thus Allah the Almighty was clearly saying to Hafiz Sahib that accept the advice of the promised Messiah and do not proceed with the nikah ceremony with Mystery Sahib, otherwise this nikah will result in making her, that is Zainab, a hypocrite, or she will be destroyed, or it will be equivalent to killing her. However, he did not understand the promised Messiah's revelation to apply to this Zainab, and the father of the girl came to the opposite conclusion. However, the will of Allah the Almighty was to not have Zainab married to Mystery Sahib, because great discord would be created through him in the future, and later disorder was indeed wrought by him. Thus God was saying, do not marry Zainab to him and accept the promised Messiah's advice. Then there is proof to prove that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave Hafiz Ahmadullah Sahib this very advice being mentioned. When Mystery Sahib separated himself from the Jamaat, then Hadhrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, says, Bir Manzoor Sahib sent me a message that the promised Messiah instructed Hafiz Ahmadullah Sahib in my presence that Zainab should not be married to Mystery Sahib. But when Hafiz Sahib did not accept this advice and married her with him, I was very angry. This is what Bir Manzoor Sahib said. So Bir Manzoor Sahib says that I appeared before the promised Messiah and said that Your Holiness is commissioned by God, and when the one who is commissioned by God says something, then all the Mu'mineen, the believers, should follow it. But Hafiz Ahmadullah Sahib has disobeyed Your Holiness. At this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, What you have stated is correct, but I do not interfere in such matters. Hazrat Musleh Maud states, When I heard this narration, then although I did not doubt it in the slightest, but since this was the only and sole narration, I was worried that there should be other evidence for this. Due to the entire background of Hafiz Sahib leaving the community and the disorder that would ensue, Hazrat Musleh Maud wanted to find solid proof of this matter. Anyways, Hazrat Musleh Maud says that it is the doing of God that the next day I received a letter in the mail from Munshi Qudratullah Sunuri. He stated in his letter that when I visited Qadian in 1915, I felt the need of learning the Quran from someone. Therefore, I started to learn the Qur'an from Hafiz Ahmadullah Sahib. One day, during a conversation, he mentioned to me that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had advised him to arrange the marriage of his daughter Zainab with someone else from who was being proposed. But in those days, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, received the revelation, La taqtulu Zainab. Mistakenly, I thought it meant that the promised Messiah's view was not correct, and so I had my daughter married to Sheikh Misri Sahib. However, Sheikh Misri Sahib now gives me severe grief and distress. This is what he, the father-in-law, is saying. He has begun to treat me very harshly and inflict me with great pain, and I feel all of this is a consequence of not abiding to the instruction of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hazrat Musleh Maud states, I remember during the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, Sheikh Misri Sahib hit his father-in-law in the bazaar. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I was very angry with Misri Sahib, and I had to plead for several days on his behalf for him to be forgiven. Therefore, the meaning of this revelation was that do not marry Zainab with Sheikh Misri, otherwise it would lead his faith into ruin. And so the future events prove that the marriage caused his faith to be wasted away. Many will be perhaps unaware of Misri Sahib. This is a part of the history of the Jamaat, or the community. Who was he and what is his story? Therefore, I shall give a brief explanation. As is evident, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Sahib Misri took the bet, the oath of allegiance of the promised Messiah, and was a well-educated person. Later, he travelled to Egypt, which was funded by Hadrat Musleh Maud and Chaudhry Nasrullah Khan Sahib. Not only did the trip provide him with various other benefits, but it also became the means for the title he was given, Misri, Misri being the Arabic name for Egypt. That is why he is referred to as Sheikh Misri Sahib. As I mentioned before, a time came when he opposed Hadrat Musleh Maud, and as a result said much against him. He also tried to create discord within the Jamaat. However, God the Almighty not only protected the Jamaat as a whole from discord, rather he also informed certain individuals through dreams regarding the state of Misri Sahib. Misri Sahib's standing in the Jamaat can be measured by a letter written to Hadrat Musleh Maud from Africa, in which the person wrote that I am greatly distressed by Misri Sahib's separation from the Jamaat. If such important and significant people were to lose their faith, then what was to be said of the faith of ordinary people like us? Hadrat Musleh Maud states that I wrote back that it was for God Almighty to decide who is great, and not for you to decide who is so. When God Almighty has separated the person through his own doing, who you thought was great, from the Jamaat, and has kept you in the Jamaat, it therefore proves that you are great and not him. Nonetheless, while Misri Sahib was in the Jamaat, he was considered very important. Yet today, he holds no value. During his opposition or after leaving the Jamaat, Misri Sahib tried to establish his own importance by stating that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's revelation, La Taqtulu Zainab, do not kill Zainab, was actually about him. However, when Hadhrat Musleh Maud revealed the true reality of the revelation in light of various other revelations, and so too did the members of the community, Misri Sahib himself then started to complain why his wife Zainab was being dragged into all of this. Therefore, this is the reason for explaining this revelation, which has been elucidated by Hadhrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, in how that revelation came to its fulfillment. Hadhrat Musleh Maud further states, look how tremendous this prophecy is, towards which Misri Sahib himself has drawn our attention. It seems that his wife Zainab also remembered about the revelation, and she says that her father Hafiz Sahib thought it was relating to her. Hadhrat Musleh Maud states, that is why Misri Sahib's attention was drawn to this. And perhaps the task that may have taken much longer for us to fulfill was fulfilled by Misri Sahib himself instead. Hadhrat Musleh Maud states, his example is just like the goat which took out a knife to be slaughtered. It is said there was a man who took out a knife in order to slaughter a goat, but placed it somewhere and forgot about it. Whilst playing, his children covered it with soil and hid it into the ground. He searched for the knife, but to no avail. While standing perplexed, the goat started to move its feet, and as a result, it removed the soil, and the man was able to see the knife. And so he immediately slaughtered the goat with it. Since then, it has become a popular proverb amongst the Arabs that whenever one causes his own ruin and downfall, he is described as taking out the knife, just like the goat did. Hazrat Musleh Maud also drew the conclusion, which is very evident, that had Hafiz Sahib abided by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's advice, and not married his daughter Zainab to Misri Sahib, then his faith would not have been wasted away. Therefore, it is the duty of the believers to obey the words of the one who has been commissioned by God. They should try to understand their words, and instead of drawing their own conclusions, they should try to follow the words of the one commissioned by God to the letter, and thus their faith shall not be wasted. Hazrat Musleh Maud relates another incident. Maulvi Muhammad Asan Sahib had a very hasty nature. Once the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, travelled to Basrawan for an outing. During the walk, he said that there is a great degree of difference in the words of God the Almighty and the words of a man. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then narrated one of his revelations and stated that this is also a revelation, whilst on the other hand, there is the works of Hariri, who was a literary writer. Maulvi Muhammad Afzal Sahib did not hear the last part of the promised Messiah statement carefully, and he thought that the revelation was from the works of Hariri, and commented that it was completely vain. However, the promised Messiah stated that this was in fact the revelation of God the Almighty. Upon this, Maulvi Sahib immediately responded, "Subhanallah, holy is Allah, what beautiful words." Thus, one should never be hasty when forming an opinion about these matters, or rather any matter. Today, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is known all over the world, in every country and every corner of the globe. Regarding this, Hazrat Musleh Maud relates an incident. He says that once a Sikh came to me and said, "Your eldest paternal uncle, Mirza Ghulam Qadir Sahib, was very famous and held a very important office. But Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Sahib was unknown, and no one had heard of him." The Sikh then said, "Once my father went to see Mirza Ghulam Murtaza Sahib, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's father, and said that, 'I have heard you also have another son. Where is he?' The father replied that he spends all day sat in the mosque, reading and studying the Holy Quran. I am very worried about him, and how will he eat? You should go to him and tell him to also give some attention towards the worldly affairs. I want him to start working, but whenever I arrange any kind of work for him, he always declines." And so the Sikh says, "My father went to convey the elder Mirza Sahib's message." However, he, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, "My father worries for no reason. What am I going to avail from these worldly matters? You should go back to my father and tell him that I have already become a servant of the one whose servitude I had to enter in. I do not require the employment of people." Hazrat Musleh Maud states that this had such a profound effect on the Sikh that his eyes would fill with tears whenever he would mention the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. "Once he came to me in the Choti, the small mosque, and started crying loudly whilst wailing. I inquired what the matter was, and he replied that today I have been treated with great injustice. I went to Beheshti Maqbara today, and when I was about to prostrate before the promised Messiah's grave, one of the Ahmadis stopped me. However, his religion is different to mine. If Ahmadis do not bow down before his grave, then that is up to them. But I am a Sikh and we can prostrate. And so why did he, the Ahmadi, stop me?" Regarding this, Hadar Musleh Maud states, "The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would always remain in seclusion, and his worship and piety and devotion had such an effect on all those who knew him that despite not being Muslims, they would still visit the grave of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, after his demise. Hazrat Muslim Maud states, Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi Sahib was a friend of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. However, after the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, announced his claim, he said that it was I who had exalted him, and it was I who would now cause his ruin. However, God the Almighty erased Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib's name while spreading the promised Messiah's peace be upon him's name across the entire world. Hadar Muslim Maud states that one of Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib's son became an Arya. I invited him to Qadian and again made him a Muslim. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib even wrote a letter to thank me for this. Speaking of the internal and external opposition, Hadar Muslim Maud states, the opposition has been ongoing since the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, yet the community is still progressing. In fact, even today, various ploys and opposition exist, but by the grace of God the Almighty, the community continues to march forward. Hadrat Muslim Maud states, the community has had to tread upon thorns in order to get to this level. This proves that God Almighty's grace has always been with the Jamaat. However, to ensure this continues perpetually, the community should always remain engaged in prayers. If we continue to fulfill the dues of prayer, then inshallah, God willing, the current and any future opposition shall die its own death. Regarding the unparalleled level of sacrifice by Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, Hazrat Muslim Maud states, God Almighty bestowed Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I with an employment of the highest position and status. After its completion, he began his practice in his hometown where he became renowned. His hometown was in Behra, situated in the district of Sargodha, wherein there are many major landowners and many of them were his devotees. Therefore, there was great potential for his work to flourish. However, when he came to meet the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, after a few days, he decided to return back. However, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said to him that you have seen plenty of the world. Now you should remain here in Qadian. And so he obeyed this instruction to such a degree that he did not even return to obtain his possessions and belongings, and instead sent someone else to get them. In those days, there was no hope of running a practice in Qadian. In fact, people did not even have the capacity to pay a single penny, yet he did not take any notice of this. Eventually, he gained such prominence that patients would travel from outside of Qadian. Thus, a steady flow of income would continue. However, Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib's sacrifice was such that there was not even any prospect of income and nor any possibility of any fees being paid to him or of a salary or stipend. There was no means for any kind of income. He would work as a secretary to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hazrat Muslim Maud states that all the various departments of the Jamaat that are working today, he was doing all their work all by himself back then. Even though there was no means for his allowance, and this too is similar to the example of sacrificing oneself in the Wadi-e-Ghair-Zizara, the uncultivable valley. Thus, these are the examples of our elders and saints, which the Waqfin-e-Zindagis, the live devotees of the Jamaat, need to ponder over from time to time. Regarding the love of Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib had for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hazrat Muslim Maud states, Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib had exceptional love for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and only those people can truly understand it who have witnessed that time. Others cannot even imagine it. Hazrat Muslim Maud states, He passed away at the time when I was 16 or 17 years old. And I was only 12 or 13 years of age when I first recognized that love. In other words, it was in my childhood, but despite this, it had such a profound impact upon me. I cannot forget two things about Maulvi Sahib. One, the way he drank water, and second, his love for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Maulvi Sahib really liked cold water a lot and would enthusiastically drink it. He would gulp down the water as if God the Almighty had gathered all the rewards of heaven and sent them down. After taking a few mouthfuls of water, he would say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Hadrat Muslim states that in those days the water from the well in Aqsa Mosque was very popular. I do not know why people no longer speak of it. Hadrat Maulvi Abdul Karim would often say, bring some water and earn spiritual rewards. If he was in the company of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then it was a different matter. Otherwise, he would stand by the stairs and wait for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and would take the can of water from the water bearer and drink from it. The second aspect of his personality was that while sat in the company of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, it would appear as if his eyes were consuming something from the promised Messiah's body. His face would blossom with happiness and delight, and joy would exude from his entire countenance. The way in which he would buoyantly listen to the words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, smilingly, and pay tribute to him while changing his posture, was a sight truly worth witnessing. If I have ever seen this in anyone else to some extent, then it was in the late Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib. In short, Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib had an exceptional love for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him too, had similar love for him. It was the practice of the promised Messiah that after the Maghrib prayer, he would always sit and converse. However, he abandoned this practice after the demise of Maulvi Sahib. Someone asked that why does Hazur no longer sit after the prayer? Hazur replied that it pains me seeing the empty spot where Maulvi Sahib once sat. Whereas who more than the promised Messiah believe God Almighty to be the one who is Hay, ever living, and who believes he will give life once again? Thus the devotion was not one-sided, rather the promised Messiah also held great love for his companions. Relating an incident, Hadrat Muslihimot states, I remember once in Qadian, someone made some inappropriate remarks about late Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, and people started beating him. However, the man was very stubborn, and even though people were beating him, he said and insisted that I will continue saying these words. The people would beat him again, and the quarrel thus escalated. Hadrat Muslihimot states that at the time we were very young, and so this just became a spectacle for us. He would continue to sustain beatings and yet maintain that I will continue to say these words. They beat him so much that eventually they got tired from doing so. During those days, a non-Ahmadi wrestler was visiting Hadrat Khalifa Tumsi I for treatment. This was before his Khilafat, during the time of the promised Messiah. When he heard this clamor, he thought it was meritorious to join in and said, "Why should I be deprived of this blessing?" And so he too went along and without inquiring the matter and knowing what the person had said or why, lifted that person up and span him around and threw him to the ground. However, the man was very stubborn. He would take the beating and insist that he would remain firm upon saying what the words he had used. Hadrat Muslihimot states that this became a spectacle for us. The promised Messiah was extremely displeased when he learnt of this incident. He stated that, is this our teaching? Look, people hurl verbal abuse at us, but what harm does it bring to us? Therefore, so what if he used some inappropriate words for Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib? Hadrat Muslihimot states that aside from others, when our maternal grandfather Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib saw this, he inquired what the ruckus was, and why they were committing this useless act, and beating the man up. However, it was while he was admonishing them that the person repeated the same words against Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib. And so Mir Sahib also gave him a few slaps. Hazrat Musleh Maud states that at times people can do such things which are vain, it is just a matter of a trend. When a certain trend sets in motion, then everyone is attracted towards it, but even then we should have control over our emotions. Another companion of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was Hazrat Munshi Aruri Khan Sahib. Regarding his love for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hazrat Musleh Maud states, Hazrat Munshi Aruri Khan Sahib had great love for the promised Messiah and lived in Karpur Tala. The promised Messiah so highly praised the Jamaat of Karpur Tala for their sincerity and even wrote a letter which the Jamaat has kept, stating that they showed so much sincerity that they would be with him in paradise. They would repeatedly request the promised Messiah to visit Karpur Tala. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also promised them that if the opportunity came, he would visit them. Once an opportunity did arise, but there was not enough time to notify them. Therefore, the promised Messiah set off unannounced. When the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, arrived at Karpur Tala station, a bitter opponent caught sight of him. Even though he was an opponent, but prominent individuals have a certain awe-inspiring aura or presence. Munshi Arora Sahib used to relate that they were sat in a shop talking when this man, who was an opponent, came running and said that your Mirza Sahib is here. Hearing this at once, leaving behind my shoes and turban, I rushed towards the station with my head uncovered and bare feet. After running some distance, I thought, how is it possible for us to have the good fortune that the promised Messiah would come and visit us? The person who conveyed the news is an opponent and therefore must have jested. And so I, Munshi Sahib, stopped and started telling him off. Munshi Sahib says that I began to tell him off and told him that he was lying and ridiculing us. But then the thought emerged that perhaps he really has come, and I started running again. Again the thought came that how can we be worthy of this? And so again I stopped and started telling him off. The man replied that do not tell me off. In fact, I'll walk with you. And so again I started walking. In short, at times I would be running and then I would stop. And it was during the course of this that I saw the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, before me. Such was his passionate and craze of devotion for the promised Messiah that whenever the thought came of his beloved visiting them, his heart would not be able to accept it. A short while after the promised Messiah's demise, Munshi Arore Khan Sahib came to Qadian. He once sent a message to me that he wanted to see me. When I came outside to meet him, I saw 2 or 3 gold coins in his hand, which he handed over to me, saying, "Give these to Amma Jan," meaning revered mother, the blessed wife of the promised Messiah. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, I cannot remember just now what word he exactly used to refer to her, but perhaps Amma Jan or Amma Ji, but nonetheless a word connoting mother was used. Then he began to weep and wail with such great pain that his whole body began to tremble. Even though I was aware that it was the memory of the promised Messiah that was causing him to cry, but because he was so uncontrollable, I knew there was another reason too. However, he cried for 15 minutes, in fact for almost half an hour. I kept asking him what the matter was, but despite wanting to answer, he could not do so due to being emotional. Eventually, when he controlled his emotions, he said that when I took the oath of allegiance, my salary was 7 rupees, and I restricted my expenditures in every way to save money in order to visit Qadian personally and present it to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I used to cover a lot of distance on foot in order to spend as little as possible expense to reach Qadian. Then I was promoted, and with that this longing also continued to increase. That is, the longing to give these. Finally, the desire to present gold to the promised Messiah as a gift instilled in my heart. I wanted to present this from the leftover salary money after making monetary donations. However, after saving a small amount, I used to get worried that so much time has passed since I saw the promised Messiah, and before I had enough money to purchase the gold, I used to travel to Qadian and presented it to Hazur with all my savings. At last, I was able to save these £3. I intended to present this to the promised Messiah in person, but the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, passed away. So 30 years of his life passed away whilst wishing for this to happen. He also made efforts to achieve this. However, the moment he was able to do it, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had passed away. So this was the sincerity, faithfulness, and sacrifice of those people. There are some letters of Arabic that have a specific pronunciation and non-Arabs cannot pronounce it correctly. On one occasion during a conversation, an Arab raised the objection against the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that the promised Messiah cannot pronounce Arabic words correctly. Whilst mentioning this incident, Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that once a person arrived at a gathering of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah started conveying the message of Islam. During the conversation, the promised Messiah said that the Quran states this: since it is not possible to properly pronounce in Punjabi the Arabic letter Qaf in the best manner, and usually people do not pronounce the Qaf from the throat like the reciters of the Holy Quran, rather it is a sound in between Qaf and Kaf. The promised Messiah also pronounced the word Qur'an in an ordinary manner. At this, the person started to say, "You claim to be a great prophet and you don't know how to pronounce the word Qur'an. What commentary are you going to do of the Qur'an?" As soon as he said that, Hazrat Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed, who was sitting in this gathering, raised his hand to slap this person. The promised Messiah grabbed his hand immediately. The late Molvi Abdul Karim Sahib was sitting on the other side. He grabbed the other hand of Hadrat Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed. After this, the promised Messiah started conveying to this person the message of Islam. Then the promised Messiah said to Sahibzada Sahib that this is the only weapon that these people have. If they do not use such weapons, then tell me what should they do. If you think that they will speak with evidence and words of truth will come out of their mouths, then what was the need for God the Almighty to send me? The fact that God has sent me shows that these people no longer have the truth with them. They have these vain weapons and you wish. The promised Messiah said to Sahibzada Sahib that, "And you wish that they should not use such weapons as well." At one place there is a mention of pronunciation of the Arabic letter Dwad, and this is also mentioned by Hadhrat Musleh Maud. It has also been mentioned at another place as well, that on one occasion perhaps the same person referred to the pronunciation of Qaf and Dwad because the references are the same for both. While mentioning the incident regarding the pronunciation of Dwad, Hadhrat Musleh Maud wrote that Arabs themselves say that no one can pronounce the letter Dwad like us. Then what is there to object when they know that no one else can pronounce it? Hadhrat Musleh Maud states that among the Punjabis, I think that my pronunciation of the letter Dwad is closest to the most correct pronunciation. However, my pronunciation also is not fully correct. So I explain the fact that both the incidents of Qaf and Dwad are found, and usually this incident of Dwad is more commonly known in the community. I explained it because people might start writing to me that this incident was not about Qaf, rather it was about Dwad, and because of that the letters being sent to me will increase for no reason, and the letters team, which is already overwhelmed, will get very worried. Then, mentioning the patience of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hazrat Musleh Maud states, I have read such offensive letters by the opponents of Ahmadiyyat against the promised Messiah that after reading them one's blood starts boiling. However, the promised Messiah kept those letters and stayed patient. Then Hazrat Musleh Maud states that such letters of this type for the promised Messiah were in such high volume that I think that I do not receive such a high volume of letters. I receive only 4 to 5 such letters of this nature, other than the letters without paid postage that are returned. However, the promised Messiah would receive 2 to 3 such letters weekly, and they used to be so offensive and replete with vulgarity and abusive language that a person would be shocked after seeing them. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that once I started reading these letters by chance, my blood started to boil after I got through with 1 or 2 such letters. When the promised Messiah saw this, he came immediately and took the sack of letters from my hand and said, "Do not read these." The promised Messiah had several sacks of such letters with him. There was a wooden box where the promised Messiah would store these continuously. Many times the promised Messiah burned such letters, but then they would accumulate again. The promised Messiah has written in his books regarding these bags of letters that I have several sacks of letters full of abusive language from opponents. These letters did not only contain abusive language, rather also false accusations and mention of illicit relationships for the sake of narration. Therefore, it is utter foolishness to get worried about such things. Such things become evident in order to perfect our taqwa. What is the need of getting offended or furious about this? Whatever the utensil contains will drip from it. Since there is malice in the hearts of the enemy, therefore malice becomes apparent. But we should continuously stay firm in our virtuousness and righteousness, and we should maintain good morals. If the enemy acts with jest and mockery in an assembly, then you should leave such a gathering. That is God's commandment. At one place, Hazrat Musleh Maud says that Allah the Almighty blesses everything related to the prophets to display his signs, and it is incumbent upon the people to attain these blessings. Hence, these blessings cannot be denied. This is a proven fact. It is verified by the actions of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. It is published in the Badr newspaper, and I also remember vividly that once the promised Messiah travelled to Delhi and he visited the tombs of different awliya, or the saints, to pray. Hence, the promised Messiah prayed on the graves of Khwaja Baqi Billah Sahib, Hazrat Qutub Sahib, Khwaja Nizamuddin Sahib Awliya, Shah Waliullah Sahib, Hazrat Khwaja Mir Dard Sahib, and Nasiruddin Sahib Jiragh. Although the diary has not been published as such, as far as I remember, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said on that occasion that the hearts of the inhabitants of Delhi have become lifeless. I decided to visit the graves of their saints who have passed away and pray for their progeny and inhabitants of Delhi themselves in order to infuse a passion and fervour in their souls and to pray for their guidance. In the diary, only this is published, that the promised Messiah said that I have prayed on the graves for them as well as for myself and for some other matters as well. Note that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, did not only pray for these holy men, as people think prayers on the graves are only offered for those who have passed away. This notion is proven wrong by what is mentioned in the diary, because the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that I prayed for them as well as myself, that Allah the Almighty grants us success in our objectives, and I also prayed for several other matters. This is the diary of the promised Messiah, which is published in Badr newspaper. Similarly, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes in Tadhkaratul Shahadatain that I intended to finish this book, Tadhkaratul Shahadatain, before leaving for Gurdaspur, to attend a court hearing and take it with me. But I had severe kidney pain, and I thought that this task will not be accomplished. At that time, I said to my family, that is, Hazrat Ummul Mumineen, the mother of the believers, the revered wife of the promised Messiah, that I will pray and you keep saying Ameen. Therefore, I prayed at the time was keeping Hazrat Mulvi Abdul Latif Shaheed Sahib's soul in mind, that, O God, this person has offered sacrifice for your sake, and I want to write this book in his honor. You grant me health by your grace. Therefore, the promised Messiah states that I swear to that being and who possesses my life that it was not 6 in the morning when I recovered fully and wrote half of the book on the same day. Observe that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was leaving for a court hearing. He wished to finish the book prior to his departure, but he fell very ill. It was at this point that he prayed, whilst keeping Hazrat Mulvi Abdul Latif Shaheed Sahib Soul in mind, who was one of his servants, that, O God, I wish to write this book acknowledging his service and sacrifice. So grant me help with your grace. And God accepted this prayer of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Therefore, he titled this incident, New Miracle of Mulvi Abdul Latif Shaheed Sahib. It is proven by the acts of the virtuous and pious people that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prayed several times in such a manner. What is forbidden is the notion that the dead will grant us something. This matter is absolutely unlawful and Islam declares it as haram. As far as the part which mentions that visiting such places produces an overwhelming emotion, or the part which mentions that a person prays to God whilst reminding him about the promises he made with his prophets, that, O God, fulfill those promises in our being. Not only is this lawful, but it is also a spiritual reality, and it is the responsibility of the believer that he should seek benefit from these blessed places. For instance, when we visit the grave of the promised Messiah for prayers, we can address God and say that, O Allah, he is the person with whom you promised that I will revive Islam through him. It was your promise that I shall spread his name to the corners of the earth. Hence, thou, God, fulfill this. May Allah enable us to fulfill our responsibilities in completing the mission of the promised Messiah by becoming a part of this promise. Also, we may become the ones to show the true image and victory of Islam to the world and witness it ourselves as well. After the prayers, I will lead the funeral prayers in absentia of the late Maulvi Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Darvish of Qadian. He passed away on the 22nd of July 2015 at the age of 94 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the only Ahmadi in his family. He had the opportunity to teach the Holy Quran and Hadith in Madrasa Ahmadiyya for a long time. He was a very simple and humble person. He performed his duty with a great sense of responsibility. He was a sincere and a faithful person. He was from Mukul Town, District Junia, Division Lahore, and presently was living in District Kosar. He acquired his early childhood education in his local village. After that, in 1939, he had the opportunity of studying the preliminary books of Hadith in Ahle Hadith Educational Institute in Lahore. There he met with an Ahmadi and was introduced to Ahmadiyyat. Later on, he visited Qadian several times for search of the truth. He continued to study books. Finally, in 1944, he had the honor of taking the bayt on the hands of Hazrat Musleh Maud. Afterwards, he moved to Qadian to acquire religious education, and in April 1939, he enrolled in the Muballighin class. The incident of partition of the country and migration from Qadian occurred during his studies, but he preferred to stay in Qadian in all circumstances and adopted the life of a dervish. In 1949, according to the instructions of Hadrat Musleh Maud that a few students from the Muballighin class should be selected for advanced education in order to fulfill the shortage of the teachers in Qadian, he was also selected for higher education for 4 years. At the completion of this education, he was appointed as a teacher in Madrasa Ahmadiyya Qadian in May 1955. In November 1958, he passed his Maulvi Fazil exam from Punjab University. He served as a teacher in Madrasa Ahmadiyya for a long period of time. Then he retired after obtaining the senior Shahid degree. However, he continued to serve Madrasa Ahmadiyya for a long time even after that. He was regular in fasting and prayers. He was a scholar who practiced what he preached. He loved his students like a father. In Madrasa Ahmadiyya, he illuminated the students with the knowledge of hadith for years upon years. He had a deep understanding of the books of hadith and had such a beautiful way of narration that his lecture was impressed in the minds of his students. In the list of Darveshani Ahmadiyyat published in Tariqh-e Ahmadiyyat, The History of Ahmadiyyat, Volume 11, his number is 153. He spent long periods of Darveshi with patience and gratitude despite all the hardships. He was a Musi. He leaves behind three daughters, a stepson, and a son. His son, respected Jameel Ahmed Nasir Advocate, is Murshid-e-Qanuni, Legal Advisor, Nazim Tashkis, and Nazim Tashkis-e-Jaidad Musian. His stepson, respected Badruddin Mehtab, is working as an Assistant Manager in Fazl-e-Umar Press. His daughter, Aisha Begum Sahiba, is wife of Dr. Naseem Ahmed Sahib Hafiz Abadi and is presently serving as a principal of Nusrat Women's College. May Allah the Almighty elevate the status of the deceased and enable his progeny to remain steadfast upon his virtuous deeds.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.